Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Dude, That's Weird. You may be hearing us today on the History Dweebs podcast feed. We decided to go ahead and post this particular story on both, just because it was part of history and just kind of a weird thing. With me today is young Brittany. Hello, Brittany.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good.
Great. And Mr. Tim over there.
Hi, Brandy.
Wow. And to my left is Charles, the Colonel. Walters.
He's affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman.
Okay. By some.
Dude, that's weird.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Colonel.
It's lovely to join all my friends today.
Great.
You're so smooth.
So smooth.
So nice of you.
Really, I'm like the white Billy Dee Williams.
You're not like that at all.
You really are.
You are never Lando Calrissian, ever.
He's big with the ladies.
I am big with the ladies.
Because they want to borrow your clothes.
They want to borrow my underwear.
They might want to borrow your underwear.
I want to borrow because the underwear.
No,
I still got them. Oh, that's why I've been walking around here smiling.
Oh God. Okay, so today we are going to talk about Richard Speck, and if you ever look up pictures of Richard Speck.
He's a mess.
He is a hot mess.
He is good looking.
What?
Look at that picture.
Dude, he always looks stupid.
Oh.
Like in every picture, he looks stupid.
He looks stupid. He's got the complexion of someone who was bobbing for French fries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has that lost look on his face.
Yeah, he looks lost. He's pitted. His face is all pitted up. He looks stupid. So, but he's an interesting character for several reasons that we'll get into. But does anybody have anything that they want to go into before we start?
Do
we have any shout-outs?
We got a shout-out to Bobby Scott.
I do have a shout-out to Brian, who left us a very nice message on our Facebook page, and he made a suggestion that we're going to look into as a potential topic. So thank you, Brian. We'll look into the Molly Maguires.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, we got to give a shout out to Dottie.
Thank you.
Standing shout out to Dottie.
Standing shout out. Because Dottie really is the fifth member of our team.
She is.
She is.
She is like the fifth person to listen to our podcast, too. She's like the fifth member of our audience.
Well, if it wasn't for Dottie, I wouldn't do these damn things.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she appreciates it.
Yeah.
So.
I might be Tim's stepfather one day.
That's something to look forward to. Okay.
Good luck with that.
Richard Speck.
Richard Speck. Timmy, tell me a little about young boy Richard Speck.
Okay, well, this guy,
Dickie.
Bear with me because
Dickie Speck.
Dickie Speck is a mess. Richard Benjamin Speck, of course, as Brandy mentioned, is known as a mass murderer. And we're going to get into that, his career highlights a little bit later. But he was born on December 6, 1941, which was one day before Pearl Harbor was attacked. So 2 days in infamy.
Well, he was born on the day that just kind of sucked.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, Japanese were already on their way.
did you say Japs?
The Japanese.
I apologize to all of Oriental listeners.
Asian. It would be Asian.
Asian, yeah, listeners.
So, all right, you stepped your foot in the mouth, so you have to shut up. Okay, so he was born December 6, 1941, which, of course, is a day before Pearl Harbor was attacked. And also the day before the colonel's birthday, right? You're in December.
My birthday, well, not actually the day before, but my birthday is on Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah, another date that will live in infamy. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, Speck died on December 5th, 1991. So he lived to be 49 years old. He just missed 50 by one day.
Bummer.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Okay, anyway, he was born in Kirkwood, Illinois. I don't know why all these serial killers are born in Illinois and Chicago and Wisconsin, but whatever. Because we had what? We had the guy with the...
Ed Gein.
He was in Wisconsin. No, the guy at the World's Fair.
Oh, the Holmes. John Holmes.
H.H. Holmes.
John Holmes.
H.H. Holmes. He beat people to death with the stick.
Yeah, and then you had John Gacy, yeah. John Wayne Gacy. So a lot of weirdos up there in Chicago, although I know not everyone in Chicago is weird, I don't think. Okay, anyway, he was born at... His family moved to Monmouth, Illinois when he was very young. Speck was the seventh of eight children, born to Benjamin and Mary Margaret Speck. He did have a younger sister, Carolyn, who was born in 1943, so he was 2 years younger than her. But he had, they were much younger than their older four older sisters and brothers. Speck's oldest brother, Robert, died when he was at age 23 in an automobile accident in 1952. Speck's father was apparently a pretty good guy. He was... He had a good relationship with Richard, and you know, he was a good provider. He worked at the Western Stoneware in Monmouth. But his father died in 1947 of a heart attack at age 53, which is kind of ironic because Speck will end up dying of a heart attack at age 50. So
49.
Yeah, 49. Exactly. So I don't know if there's a...
I would say there was some congenital...
Probably heart disease in the family. Mm-hmm. But Speck was only 6 years old when his father died. A few years later, Speck's religious, teetotaling mother met and fell in love with a traveling insurance salesman. That's never a good thing. Young Brittany never fall in love with a traveling insurance salesman, especially if he's a hard-drinking peg leg, which is what this guy Lindbergh was.
Maybe he's a pirate.
Red flag.
Red flag. If you never want to fall in love with a hard-drinking peg leg traveling insurance salesman.
And actually, he's where the saying came from. If you've ever heard it, that some bitch can drink like he got a hollowed-out leg. It came from him.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
Wow. No,
you ain't never heard that.
I've heard it.
I don't know why.
And let me ask you this. Wouldn't it be hard to be a traveling insurance salesman if you're
with a peg leg?
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe you.
I don't think he walked everywhere.
Yeah, I think he had to have.
Well, but I mean, you know, there wasn't, you know, back in the day, there wasn't reasonable accommodations and hope, you know, and I don't know. It seemed to me it would be hard to do.
Which leg was it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Either his left or his right.
Because if it was the left,
what would the difference be? What would the difference be, Colonel?
The difference it would.
Well, it's a big difference if you're a kicker in the NFL.
Is your gas pedal and your brake foot?
True.
He could have taken
that's
the train.
That's true.
He probably took the train everywhere.
Well, we don't know.
But he could have drove if it was his left leg.
But anyway, this Carl Lindbergh was not a good guy. He was a hard drinker, and young Speck's mother married this guy, and. They moved to Texas, where they set up their household, and it was kind of a rough childhood for Richard. The family kept moving a lot. They moved into 12 different addresses in Dallas in over 10-year period.
It was so. Traveling insurance.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Well, when I said traveling, that wasn't bullshitting around.
Well, but the guy was, the stepfather was out of the house a lot. So, and when he was at home, him and Richard did not get along well. His father, stepfather was psychologically and verbally abusive to young Richard.
He's physically abusive too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was physically
abusive. They didn't say how he lost his leg.
No, I did not do a whole lot of research on Mr. Lindbergh, but we can do that at another podcast.
Well, I guess, because my question is, if he got a peg leg, okay, and this is what I never understood about pirates. Now, I'm sure that a peg leg could be a flotation device. If you're a pirate and you get knocked off the ship, you can hold on to your peg leg, it will float. But day to day to day to day, you got to get in the shower. Is it like a cast that you got to cover up your wooden peg leg?
Not if you can swim with it.
Well,
eventually it would warp.
But it's like a deck. I mean, you know, it's like deck wood.
Yeah. So you got to clean and stain your peg leg every
You got to clean and stain your peg leg every once in
poly,
a while.
Put a coat of polyurethane on your peg
You got to do something.
It's a lot of upkeep.
Well, and you probably need really to make yourself a new one eventually.
So you got to get a pedicure every once in a while.
You do.
A pedicure.
Yeah, I got it. Yes, you do.
That's a new business we could start.
It is. It is. But only if
try that.
Little wooden toes.
A pedicure.
Timmy getting tense over here.
No, I'm just waiting for you to stop rambling.
He tried to choke himself.
We're having an excellent conversation about pedicure.
So anyway, Speck, Richard Speck, the topic of our podcast, he was a poor student.
Easy warrior.
He was a poor student. He needed glasses for reading, but he refused to wear them. So he struggled in Dallas public schools from the 4th through the 8th grade, repeating the 8th grade at J.L. Long Junior High, and in part because he refused to recite in front of the class because he had a lifelong fear of people staring at him. He did not like to be stared at. And in the autumn of 1957, he failed the first term, I guess the first semester of high school, by failing every class.
Go team. It's all downhill. So, good job.
Yeah.
At least he's consistent.
He was consistent. And so then he decided in January 1958, he turned 16, so he decided to drop out of school.
Because at 16, you know everything.
Yes. So he dropped out of school. He dropped out of school. And Speck began to drink at the age of 12. And by the age of 15, he was drinking almost every day. He was drunk almost every day. Where much like the colonel here.
His parents.
Well, I was going to say much like young Brittany over here. She started,
well, I know she started a little bit out later. And the mother is busy raising the other kids.
I don't think he was a pirate. I think he was a traveling insurance salesman, but
whatever.
He is now the pirate.
Yes, you don't know that he wasn't a pirate.
Really? Can you definitively say that he was never at sea?
Do you think that people was like in the neighborhood? He come to town to be like,
might have.
Die, matey. Arg! I got something you need here. Arg!
Okay, so Speck was drinking every day, and in 1961, Richard Speck met a 15-year-old by the name of Shirley Annette Malone. And within 2 weeks of dating Speck, she was pregnant.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Hooker.
They had to do that the first day they met.
Well, I don't know, but she became pregnant. And
now, how the hell back in, they didn't even have the EPT test.
I don't know what to tell you. She got pregnant.
Within 2 weeks.
She got knocked up. She was pregnant within 2 weeks of dating.
Wow.
So she married Speck. He made an honest woman out of her on January 19th, 1962.
Oh, no, honest. That woman is.
And they moved in together. Well, actually, they moved in with his mom, sister, and his sister. Speck's mom and stepfather at that point had separated, and Mr. Pegleg moved to California. So he just limped on out to the West Coast.
Pegleg Magoo.
Yeah. So now,
I wonder if he got a redwood pegleg.
I don't know what happened to him. I don't know that we know what happened.
Those are sturdy.
Yeah.
They are sturdy.
They
grow big.
Yeah.
Now he's lopsided.
Now they're going lefty.
Lean.
So, when Speck's daughter was born, Robbie Lynn, in July 5th, 1962, one day after the July 4th celebrations would occur to that year.
Nuh-uh. Dude, that's weird.
I am telling you, there's this, you know, all these tie-ins.
There's some kind of synchronicity.
There is this, you know, this numerology. Lisa Left Eye Lopez would love this case.
Oh, she would.
Because, of course,
now,
she
did the peg leg guy have two eyes?
As far as I know.
Did he have a patch over one of them?
Because if I had a peg leg, I'd get a patch and put it over my good eye.
And wouldn't you have a parrot on your shoulder?
Yes, I was just going to say I'd get a parrot.
Have you ever wondered, and I know we're getting a little off subject here, but this falls under.
Dude, that's weird.
Yeah. If the pirate didn't have the parrot on his shoulder,
yeah,
do you think he'd have both his eyes? Because parrots is mean birds.
Where do they fly when they're out in the ocean?
I don't know, but what I wonder is, do you come in with two eyes, say, hey, I'm going to get a parrot, and then the parrot pecks your damn eye out.
He has to stay on a boat. He can't fly anywhere.
I would teach the parrot to talk. That's the best thing about a parrot.
I think that they clip his wings so he can't fly.
Okay, let's get back to the story. So, Robbie Lynn, the daughter of Richard Speck, was born on July 5th, 1962. But at the time, he was not there for her birth. And his wife, young Shirley, did not know where he was. It turns out that Speck was serving a 22-day jail sentence for disturbing the peace in McKinley, Texas, after a drunken melee.
Oh, you think he was at a pool party?
Stop.
McKinley, Texas.
Is that where it happened?
Is.
Okay, so... in July of 1963, Speck was caught having forged and cashed a co-worker's $44 paycheck, and then he robbed a grocery store, stealing cigarettes, beer, and $3 in cash. So his life of crime is off and running in 1963. The 21-year-old Speck was convicted of forgery and burglary and sentenced to 3 years in prison. He was paroled after serving 16 months. So he was served between September of 1963 and January of 1965 in the Texas State Penitentiary in Huntsville, Texas. 1 week after his parole, at 2:20 a.m., celebrating his release here, Brandy, 1 week after his parole on January 9, 1965, Speck was... arrested for wielding a 17-inch carving knife.
There you go.
Attacked a woman in a parking lot of her apartment building. So he fled. The woman screamed. Police arrived within minutes, and shortly thereafter apprehended Speck a few blocks away. Speck was convicted of aggravated assault, given a 16-month sentence to run concurrently with the parole violation sentence, and he returned to prison in Huntsville. But due to a clerical error, and I hate those, he was released from prison just 6 months later after just completing his parole violation sentence. So he never did actually have to serve his sentence for his assault on the lady with the carving knife.
So was that his, like, very first offense?
Well, other than this, he had that 22-day sentence for the drunken melee.
A fracas
back in 1962, and then he did the forgery and robbed a grocery store, and then his attack on this woman. Yeah, that's kind of the beginning of his crime career. Upon being released from prison early due to that clerical error, Speck worked as a driver for the Patterson Meat Company, and he had 6 accidents with his truck before he was fired for failing to show up work. He had 6 accidents in like a month.
Jeez.
So
he can't drive either.
I guess not.
Well, he can't see.
Well, maybe that was the problem. But he saw well enough to forge the checks. Anyway, after his release, so in December 1965, on a recommendation from his mother, him and his wife moved in with a 29-year-old divorced woman, an ex-professional wrestler.
There we go.
Who was a bartender at his favorite bar, the Guinea Lounge.
Oh, now that's just a nasty term for the Italians.
No. She worked at the Ginning Lounge, and Speck and his wife and I guess their young daughter moved in with her. She needed someone to babysit her three children, and you know, when you think of a babysitter, Richard Speck comes to mind. Yeah. So Speck and his wife move in with this ex-professional wrestler to babysit her kids. And as I said, she was a bartender at his favorite bar, the Ginny's Lounge. And that same month, Richard Speck stabbed a man in a fight at the Ginny's Lounge. So that does not reflect well on the bartender there, your employer, when you stab someone at her place of business. But anyway,
a lot of times though, people have it coming.
Well, perhaps. I don't know what the genesis of this little disagreement was, but anyway, he was charged with aggravated assault, which seems fitting. But a defense attorney hired by his mother was able to get it reduced to disturbing the peace. So you stab a guy
and you're disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, in fairness, there's peace. And all of a sudden somebody got a flesh wound. And you disturbed it. Yeah.
Well, guess what guess what his penalty was for stabbing this guy?
$25 fine.
Community service.
He was fined $10 and jailed for 3 days. But he failed to pay. He was fined $10 and he was jailed for 3 days after he failed to pay the fine. So.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Can't do the crime.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah. This was the last time he was ever in police custody in Dallas.
Now, Timmy, real quickly, let me interject something here.
Right.
My stepfather's from Tennessee.
Yeah.
His grandparents, maternal and paternal grandparents, did not like each other a bit. Did mm-hmm. not like each other. One night on the mountain, his paternal grandpappy ran into his maternal grandpappy and one of his sons.
Mm-hmm.
And they gutted the paternal grandpappy.
Mm-hmm.
He lived for about 4 days. Cut him open. You could actually see his intestines, they said. They found him guilty, and you know what they found him guilty of?
Hmm.
Disturbing the peace. Gave him a $25 fine.
Yeah, well, that'll teach him.
Yeah, no, that's how they did it there in Tennessee. Disturbing the peace.
So you could stab somebody and owe $10.
Well, if you have a good
return. I got a 20.
$25 was a lot.
I got a 20. Let's see what we can do.
That is all you're worth. $10. $20.
Okay, so anyway, so on March the 5th, 1966, Speck bought a 12-year-old car. I'm sure, so it was a 1958-ish Oldsmobile or something. The following evening, he broke into a grocery store, stole 70 cartons of cigarettes, sold them out of the trunk of his car and the grocery store parking lot.
Now, there you go.
Takes balls.
That takes a lot of stones right there.
Yeah. And then he abandoned the car. Again, I don't know why, but the police traced the car to Speck and issued a warrant for his... He wasn't the brightest criminal.
He should have thought of a life of social work instead of something.
The police traced the car to him and issued a warrant for his arrest. And that would have... They never arrested him in Dallas, but had they arrested him, that would have been arrest number 42.
Wow.
In his young career. Yeah, so he had quite a career down there.
He got more arrested than a brown-haired devil over here.
Yeah, I know. He has quite a career. Remember, Speck was born in the Chicago area, right? So he decides it's time to get out of Dodge. The Texas is a little bit hot right now. So he knew he was facing another prison term. So on March 9th, 1966, he hightails it to Chicago where his sister... helped him get out of town, and he caught a bus to Chicago, Illinois, and he stayed with his older sister, Martha Thornton, and her family for a few days. Then he returned to his hometown of Monmouth, Illinois, where he stayed with some friends.
So he wasn't really on a lam because he was on the bus.
Well, and by now, yes, that's true, and by now his wife's left him.
Yeah,
she's filed for divorce.
Yeah. I believe she left at about arrest 27.
She left him in January.
Yeah, he's all over the place. So he's staying with some friends in the Chicago area, and his brother-in-law talks him into joining like the Merchant Marines. So they get him to join this and basically trying to get him to get a job to get the hell out of their lives. While he's doing this, though, a few things happen while he's in this area. On April 3rd, a Mrs. Virgil Harris, a 65-year-old resident of Monmouth, returned home at her home at 1 a.m. to find someone was in her house brandishing a knife. He was 6 foot tall, very polite, and spoke with a soft and southern drawl, much like the colonel here. Mm-hmm. Where were you, Colonel, on April 3rd, 1960-whatever? 66.
I believe I was 3 years old, so I would have been... That's when I was trying out for Jeopardy, show.
Okay. A week later, Mary K. Pierce, a 32-year-old barmaid who worked with in her brother-in-law's tavern, Frank's Place, aptly named, I guess her brother-in-law was named Frank.
Oh, hey.
That's my guess. In downtown Monmouth, was last seen leaving the tavern at 12:45 a.m. on April the 9th. She was reported missing on April the 13th, so it took like 4 days for them to figure out she was not coming into work, I guess. And her body was found on April 13th, the same day, in an empty hog house behind the tavern. I don't know why they would have a hog house behind a tavern. That's not my business.
A hog house?
Hog, hog house.
A hog house.
Yeah. I don't know.
In the bars in the old days, they used to have the big jars of hot dogs, pickled hot dogs.
Yeah.
And they used to have the big jars of pickled pig's feet and the big jars of hard-boiled eggs.
They still do.
Yeah, but they was fresh back then.
Anyway,
you had a bunch of peg leg hogs in the back, but
anyway, Mary Kay Pierce died of a blow to her abdomen and a rupture to her liver. And it just so happens that Speck had frequented Frank's Place, and the empty hog house was one of several he had helped build in the preceding month. So he was, you know, besides his criminal career, he was known to build a hog house or two in his day.
So he was handy.
Yeah. So the Monmouth police briefly questioned him about Pierce's death, and when he showed up to collect his final check for building the hog house on April 15th, and they asked him to stay in town for further questioning. But when the police showed up at the hotel he was staying at, the Christie Hotel, to question him, they found that he had left the hotel hours before carrying his suitcase and saying he was going to the laundromat. Instead, he left town. So apparently, he did not want
to. He's a trickster.
Yeah, he did not want to answer their question. So
he lied? He a liar, too?
He's a bold-faced liar.
He a liar and a murderer.
A search of his room turned up a radio and costume jewelry that Mrs. Virgil Harris had reported missing from her house, as well as some other items that were reported missing in local break-ins the previous month. On April 19th, 1966, Speck returned to live with his sister. The brother, as I said, tried to get him a job, and they dropped him off at the U.S. Merchant Marine headquarters in hoping that they can find him a job. Now, this headquarters just happened to be down the street from the South Chicago Community Hospital, where senior student nurses and Filipino exchange nurses lived while they were going through their training.
So he had bodies turning up everywhere he went. Indiana wanted to talk to him about the murder of three girls who'd vanished on July 2nd of 66. They never found their bodies. Michigan authorities wanted to question him about his whereabouts during the murder of four other females between the ages of 7 and 60. Because his ship had been in the vicinity, and every time Speck seemed to have a knack for just staying just a little bit ahead of the police on that, never really answering questions. Then, on Saturday, July 13th of 1966...
One day before the 4th of July.
No, on July 13th.
Oh, and then it's 9 days later.
Let's count. One,
you have been late for that party, too. That was a party you would have shown up
at. I'd have missed that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Speck arrived on the doorstep of a townhouse in South Chicago that served as a communal home for a group of eight of the student nurses from South Chicago Community College. 23-year-old Corazon A Muro. Opened the front door. Speck knocked on the door. She opened the front door, and he forced his way in at gunpoint. He then rounded the nurses up, ordered them to empty all their purses, and tied them all up. Over the next couple hours, he just brutalized these girls. He raped them, tortured them, brutalized them. Those that had been fortunate enough to be out at the time of his arrival, when they returned later in the evening, were also subjected to all these brutal attacks.
So there were like nine of them altogether?
There was a total of eight women between the ages of 19 and 24. They were robbed, raped, beaten, strangled, and stabbed during this frenzy of his. The body count was so high that he failed to notice that the girl that answered the door had managed to hide herself under one of the beds. And when he left a couple hours later...
So apparently he can't count.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
When he left hours later, he took all the money he'd stolen. She came out. She'd been under the bed for hours, and she finally came out. She climbed out on a window ledge and
that
started...
That must have been horrific.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Laying under the bed.
Yeah, and listen to that.
Listening to your roommates being.
And he evidently would take them out of the room. He had them all in one room, and he would take them out of the room.
And he, like, strangled them. I mean, it wasn't like it was quick death.
Well, she went out on the window ledge, and she screamed, and then neighbors called the police. What the police found was Pamela Wilkening had been gagged and stabbed through the heart. She was found in one of the bedrooms. Gloria Davey, now this girl, she kind of got it last. He tortured her because she spit on him and told him that she would identify him in a lineup.
Yeah, you should never say that when you're
she
after
was,
they've already killed seven people.
Yeah.
She
was raped.
Probably going to kill her either way. But
she was raped and sexually brutalized and strangled. She was found in the living room, naked, lying belly down on the couch.
Mm.
Her hands were bound behind her back, and a strip of cloth was wrapped tightly around her neck.
I mean, it does take balls, though. I mean, to confront the guy when you know
right.
You're going
well,
to get
what
it.
Do you got to lose?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Suzanne Ferris was stabbed 18 times and strangled. She was next to Pamela Wilkening. She had a white nurse's stocking twisted around her neck, and she had 18 stab wounds to her chest and neck. So she must have said something that pissed him off, too. Marianne Jordan was stabbed in the chest, neck, and eye. She was found in the upstairs bedroom. She'd been stabbed 3 times in the chest and once in the neck. Nina Schmale was stabbed in the neck, and she was suffocated. She was found in one of the bedrooms. Pillow covered most of her face, and she was on her back. Her hands were bound behind her, and a cloth was around her neck. Her legs were spread apart. Her nightgown was pulled up to her breast, and she'd been stabbed in the heart.
Mm.
Patricia Matusek, he punched her, and that resulted in a ruptured liver, and then she was strangled. They found her in a bathroom. Her hands were bound behind her back. Behind her, and she was on her back. A bed sheet was double knotted around her neck. Her dress had been pulled up over her breast, and her underwear had been pulled down. Valentina Payson had her throat cut. She was found in another bedroom, face down under a blue cover. Merlita Gargulo had been stabbed and strangled. Her body just been tossed on top of Valentina's body, just kind of carelessly tossed over there. So he kind of tried out a little bit of everything on these girls. He took his time. He seemed to take his time and not really.
Yeah, this was done over hours, right?
Done over hours. And like I said, he would take them out of the room one by one and do this to them. So he had a minute to, do what he needed to do with them. So then he was picked up. They picked him up an hour later. He got ID'd by a drifter.
Yeah, it didn't take him long.
No.
And an interesting thing about this, I heard it was a forensic person they were talking about later on, years later, was that not all these girls were raped, but they were sexually brutalized in some different form. And they believed that he had a sexual dysfunction, that he could not maintain his, thing.
An erection?
Which threw him into rages. So he would get one girl out, he'd get fairly excited, he'd be able to work, and then the thing would stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go, and had it worked, he may have only killed one person. He may have chosen to,
Those are facts about it?
Yeah, I mean, he had
a dysfunction. He might not be making that up.
Making sure.
No, he had a dysfunction that he could not maintain an erection. So he was bringing these girls out, and because they were not all raped, but they were sexually brutalized. He was a lot of times,
use whatever standy.
Yeah, and had he been able to just maintain an erection, rape one, achieve orgasm, he may have just called it a day and gone on.
Mm. Yeah.
But he could not do that.
Wonder if this problem has occurred after, because he had a child, right?
I don't know.
Well, they related to his heart. I mean, the family.
Right.
It could have been. Yeah. I don't know, but that's one thing that they said that he had was.
Well, when we talk about all these serial killers, and usually you can pick out, you can see they have pretty screwed up childhoods. I mean, Albert Fish had a really screwed up childhood, and Ed Gein. This guy, his mom married a guy that wasn't so nice, but, I mean, as far as we know, there was never no, abuse going on other than some physical abuse. But, I mean,
there was some more, and when we get into what I got, there's some organic issues there, too. But when you look at it in that term, I mean, in that context, think about it. I mean, even a colonel who's known for his prowess.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Eight women. I mean, eight women is,
That's
beyond the realm.
That's beyond your ability.
Well, I mean, back in my 20s, it was a good Saturday.
Yeah.
But, and of course, that was...
Saturday afternoon.
That was not tied up and dragged out of rooms and everything. That was just coming home with the girl. But that's an interesting part of this, is that...
So you think his sexual frustration was the reason...
Brought on the rage of this brutality.
Okay. I see.
He would get... The girl would get him a little bit excited. He'd become a little bit excited, and then he would not be able to perform, and he would become insane. And he would just stab the hell and beat the hell out of him, whatever, and move on to the next one. And the beating and the stabbing and whatever aroused him again, and it was like a cycle. So it's and another thing that a lesson that ladies should learn from this is. If a guy comes into your apartment and there's five or six of you and he wants to tie you up,
rushing,
take the damn bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Damn bullet. I mean, do not let people tie you up.
That's a lesson that people learn from 9/11. I don't think people are going to just, because we were talking, what was the last one we did? Squeaky Frome.
Yeah.
And And that one, the murder where they murdered a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the LaBiancos.
Not that murder. The murder. Billets or
whatever. Yeah, the Willets.
They made a guy dig his own grave before the killing.
Yeah, you hand me a damn shovel.
Yeah, I mean,
I got a weapon.
I think at this point, I don't think people would do that. But who knows?
But anyway, that's, you know.
Because, I mean, you had eight of them. I guess eight of them worse. I mean, you don't want to blame the victim, but.
Obviously, you're not, you know, it's not their fault. But, man comes in your house, even if there's just two of you, scratch his damn eyes out, fight. Do not let them restrain you.
Right.
I was going to say, there wasn't eight when all this started.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
They kind of trickled in.
Well, there was the one girl who hid under the bed.
And that's
a strategy, too, but...
She was just lucky.
She really was very lucky.
That he can't count.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I would just never let anybody do anything like that. If there's eight girls and one guy, would never happen.
You take them.
Yeah.
Richard, in one of his little stints in prison, got a Born to Raise Hell tattoo on his arm.
Of course he did.
I know. Because
did he have love and hate across his knuckles?
Boy, we should be so lucky.
Yeah.
We should be so lucky. But, you know, so the police come to the house and they take this poor little nurse into custody. She's traumatized and they're interviewing her and they're trying to get an idea of who did this to her. And she remembered this Born to Raise Hell tattoo. And she was able to describe him to a sketch artist. So you got the tattoo and the sketch artist. And they identified, they figured out who it was. It was Richard Speck. And they sent out nationwide inquiries. And this raised other incidents in which Speck was a suspect. And they looked at his criminal record. And, you know, it took a week to identify the prints found in the house. But they finally identified him as his. They were identified.
That was before they had a national database.
Yeah, lots of media coverage. They put his image everywhere, all over front pages, everywhere. Speck actually tried to commit suicide on July 19th of 1966 by slashing his wrist, but he changed his mind. He did it and then decided this isn't a great idea.
He was hoping to get another disturbing the peace charge, I guess.
Pay the $10 and
so
move
he
on.
Could kill 7-8 people, but he couldn't kill himself.
Right. So he called help. He called 911. Called 911.
That's all right. I don't think 911 was around back then. I wonder when it started.
I don't know, but he called help.
Yeah.
And he was taken to Cook County Hospital. And they recognized his tattoo, and he was arrested and taken into custody. They did have to do surgery on him to repair his severed artery, but they had a dozen policemen that stood guard. They were on him like a cheap suit to make sure that his days of escaping and just getting out by the skin of his teeth, that was over.
Were there any clerical errors this time?
No.
So do you think he could have been insane at the time of the murders or incompetent at the time of the murders?
I don't think so.
Because he does
everything in his power not to get caught.
Right.
So he knows what he did was wrong.
Right.
Let me get to that when I get to my part. I will discuss part of that.
Well, that brings me into the pretrial. So the judge appointed a panel to report on Speck's competence and if he could stand trial and if he was sane at the time of the crime. The panel consisted of three physicians suggested by the defense and three physicians selected by the prosecution, and then five psychiatrists and one general surgeon. The panel's report deemed him competent to stand trial and concluded that he had not been insane at the time of the murders. I don't even know why they would think was. So that means he was trying to plea insanity?
Well, maybe.
You're
probably looking for anything you can at that point. But,
okay. So awaiting trial, Speck participated in sessions with one of the psychiatrists, Dr. Marvin. These continued all the way from when he was convicted until February 13th, a few days before he started trial. The psychiatrist tried to note that he had an obsessive compulsive personality and a Madonna prostitute attitude towards women. He said that Speck viewed women saintly until he felt betrayed by them for some reason, which is when he developed his hostility towards them. He was also diagnosed with organic brain syndrome resulting from a cerebral injuries suffered.
Cerebral?
Damn it.
I know, I'm sorry.
I know, it's okay. Suffered earlier in his life. And he stated that he was competent to stand trial but was insane at the time of the crime due to the effects of alcohol and drugs on his organic brain syndrome. The psychiatrist did not testify for the defense or the prosecution on both sides. And then at some point during his interview, with Speck, he had obtained a written 3-sentence consent from Speck authorizing him to tell what I am really like. During trial.
Huh? I told Chuck, bless you, he sneezed.
Oh. So, later, Speck had said that he had no recollection of any of the murders, but he had confessed to Dr. Leroy Smith at the Cook Hospital after he had tried to commit suicide. There were also films that inmates had made where Speck recounted the brutal murders.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah.
They're creepy. And he...
They're very creepy.
Yeah, he talks about how long it takes to strangle someone. Yeah. And I mean,
I told you,
it all points right to him. It doesn't seem like... Yeah.
He's not a very sympathetic character. But Charles...
Well, they find Speck guilty. I mean, there was really no reason to even have a trial. I mean, at that time, they had the death penalty, and he got sentenced to death on all counts. They should have just killed his ass then, but they didn't. Then the Supreme Court came in, and they abolished the death penalty. He got a sentence commuted to 50 to 100 years.
For each murder.
Yeah, for each murder. And now, as bizarre as this stuff is, the shit really gets weird in prison. Because Speck comes in, and... This is much later, but in 1996, this news starts getting videotapes made at Statesville. And they're from 1988 from an anonymous attorney. Now, these tapes showed publicly for the first time, and they were given to the Illinois legislature. They showed scenes of explicit sex, drug use, and money being passed around by prisoners.
This is inside the prison.
This is inside the prison. They had just no fear of getting caught. And in the middle of all these tapes was crazy-ass Speck. And they show Speck performing oral sex on another inmate, sharing a huge, huge-ass pile of cocaine with that inmate. He's walking around in silk panties. And he's
much like the colonel.
My underwear feel like so, but anyway, suspect. Here's the crazy part: the man's got his own breasts.
He has breasts.
He's breasts. Now somehow he has gotten female hormones smuggled in
to the prison.
He's taking them, and he's got. And I got to tell you, I seen this tape. This ugliest damn woman you ever seen in your life. I don't care about the breasts. I don't care if they were nice and firm and perky or whatever.
Right.
I wouldn't touch that thing with a 100-foot pole. But, I mean, Speck was ugly as a man. Imagine him as a woman. And these was not nice breasts that he had. They was
over 40, so he would become a man anyway.
Oh, they was saggy. They ain't nothing worse than a man with man boobs turned into woman boobs. Jumping around.
Did he still have his tallywhacker?
He had the tallywhacker. They hadn't cut that off yet.
Taped it.
And then Spec is like, if they only knew how much fun I was having in here, they'd turn me loose. And it was the first time that the Illinois
legislature,
one of the few times that the Illinois legislature was standing room only to see these tapes. So
I bet
one of the prisoners said in these tapes, one of the prisoners says to Speck, asked him if he killed the murderers, and he said, sure I did. And the guy asked him why, and he goes, just wasn't that night. And years since, he said he just had no feeling. If you ask me if I feel sorry, no. And he described in detail, you know, strangling someone. He's like, it's not like TV. It takes over 3 minutes. You have to have a lot of strength. I told you that. But it's much easier.
Right. I saw him on video when he said that, yeah.
You got to try to, it's, if you get a rope and then get a stick at the end and just keep twisting the stick, it's much easier.
Does it disturb you that he knows so much about strangling people?
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to do it, why make the person suffer? Get it over with quickly. You know,
you're going to strangle.
It's not a quick death, strangling
people. You're going to get a $10 fine if you're not careful with it.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, you can get a $10. Now, Spec, right before it, right just hours before his 50th birthday, mm-hmm. Had some chest pains. They took him over to Silver Cross Hospital in Joliet. And he died of a heart attack just hours before his 50th birthday, which reminds me of my young Taylor. As the colonel was about to turn 50, he was a little disturbed by it. And Taylor said, you know, Dad, 50 is a big milestone. It's something to be proud of. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Ain't nothing to be proud of, you old man. He's like, no, now think about it, Dad. It's an achievement, because if you die today, this was the day before my birthday.
When you were 49.
If you die today, people are going to be saying, oh, my God, what a tragedy. He was only 49 years old, so young. But you die tomorrow? People be like, oh, well, he was 50.
He's 50.
He had a long life.
He lived.
So poor Richard Speck, he died so young.
So if you were like a nurse or an attendant there at the Illinois State Penitentiary, wherever he was, and Richard Speck comes to you and tell you he's having chest pains,
I'd be like, okay.
You're right on that.
Let me go find an aspirin.
Well, I'd probably tell him it's from those fake titties you got.
They weren't fake. Those are real titties.
I know, but you shoot
now up. Now he never has to leave the house.
You know, here's what I want to know. If he got all the women's hormones, okay, was like 3 days a month he running around just bitching at everybody?
Probably.
Like, rah, 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 this food sucks. Look at this prison cell. It's all dirty. Clean this place up. And then, you know, the PMS, man PMS. Could he get the man PMS? Because he was getting female hormones. Did he go through a lot of Reese cups? Did he?
But he doesn't have a uterus, you incredible douche.
Yeah.
Okay, real. Maybe we get back to the story. So here's an interesting thing. It's a legitimate question.
It's
if
not.
You're taking the estrogen, because the estrogen
it wasn't. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Let's ask our listeners to weigh in on this.
Could you weigh in on these comments, listeners? Because the colonel believe estrogen make you crazy.
Scott, what's your opinion?
Scott, give us your opinion on this. The estrogen, it make you crazy. It make you. It's like taking PCP, really, because you can't. You take a woman with and. I'm going to get right back to spec
and it's
here.
The flux
but
of
estrogen.
It's the influx.
And he was getting an influx.
No, but there's a flux. There's a flux of hormones. And it's not, you know, he's getting a steady stream of hormones with his pills or his injections or whatever. The flux is what gives you PMS.
Okay, so we are agreed that the flux or the PMS or whatever make you crazy. That's all I'm saying.
No.
You just want some acknowledgement of that.
Yeah, acknowledgement of the fact. Which brings me to one more point.
Oh, Christ.
Now, you know I'm the colonel running for president. And
lose.
Young Brittany.
Before you do, Richard Speck, he died.
He did die already.
He was 49.
49, almost 50.
49.
He didn't live.
Yeah, he had a heart attack in 1990. What was it? What year?
Oh, he had a heart attack in 1991. It was one day before his 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Yes.
Let's get back to...
something important.
Well, no, you know what? I'm gonna finish up Richard Speck here, and then we're going to go to that.
That'd be great.
Here's an interesting thing. Now, you talked about organic damage from his
brain.
From an accident that he had as
when
a child.
When he was a kid, yeah.
But when they were done with it, when Speck died and they did an autopsy on him, they found out two really interesting things. And they're more and more finding out that serial killers often have organic brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a neuropathologist at the Chicago Institute of Neurosurgery performed an autopsy on his brain. This is Dr. Jan Liestma. And they found some really gross, what they call gross abnormalities.
I think they're all gross.
Things you would not see at all. And two areas of the brain, the hippocampus, which involves your memory, and the amygdala, deals with rage and other really strong emotions. They are two separate and distinct parts of your brain.
Right.
His had grown into one. There were blurred lines as to where one
been.
What they call gross abnormalities.
I think it's all gross.
So when he...
Could it have been caused if he got hit in the head by a peg leg?
No, this was what he was
going
with. But being hit with the peg... But my point being, there was something wrong with the man's brain.
Right.
I mean, he
was tell that
not,
by looking at him.
So it wasn't that, you know, the childhood, everything else. This man was going to do crazy shit no matter what he did. I mean, he was arrested 49 times.
And I think I read something about it. It also affected, did you say, or you may have said it, where it, part of your brain that where you have empathy and...
Empathy, you know, emotion. Basically, he could get thrown into a rage for no reason whatsoever. Much like, let's go back to the PMS now.
Yeah.
The colonel, you know, we're running for president. Young Brittany, I'm sorry to tell you this, you got to be 35 years old to run. So, yes, it's age discrimination, but you can just sit your ass down there, look pretty, and be quiet.
I would vote for you, Brittany.
Oh, that was very harsh.
I would vote for you, Brittany, because I think you're a new voice.
I said look pretty.
Thank you, Mr. Tim.
So,
Miss Atim.
What do
Miss Atim.
Miss, how many times
Miss
you heard that?
Miss Atim,
you give me $50, Miss Atim. Anyway,
so
the colonel,
you play Facebook.
We play on Facebook.
I got a plan. What is the problem facing us? So you keep hearing these guys talking about how they're going to deal with ISIS.
Yeah.
And as I was...
When I was a kid, ISIS was a hero.
Right. And as I was hiding in my basement the other night...
What was her name? East, what?
Why were you hiding in the basement?
Superhero?
I don't know.
ISIS.
Isn't
that her name?
I was hiding in my basement. If I could get to my point.
I wish you would.
I was hiding in my basement.
Before you do, Linda Carter, who did she play?
Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
Okay, but there was another female hero who was named Isis, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Google it. Google it. All right, I'll go ahead.
Okay, so I'm hiding in my basement, and the reason I'm hiding in my basement is because the blue-eyed devil, she got the PMS, all right?
Yeah.
So me, Rudy, and Logan, we all huddled. It's like a tornado coming. We're in the far corner.
You hear that train.
Yeah, you hear it.
Train sound. You can
just feel the vibe, the hair on the back of your neck standing up. And anyway, I got to thinking, all I keep hearing about is how are we going to solve this ISIS problem?
Yeah.
Well, here's what we do. We take... 300,000 women of childbirthing years.
Mm-hmm.
We get them all together.
Please tell me your plan.
Yeah. Now, if we get them all together for, say, 4 months basic training, all we're really doing in that basic training is trying to get their cycle together. Because you know if they hang around together long enough.
Nobody's figured that out
their
yet.
Their cycle gets together.
That's our secret.
So then what we do is we get a bunch of battleships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We get that 4-day window, okay? The window of death is what we really call it, my house. We give them spoons.
Mm-hmm.
We drop them off in Syria, Iraq, Iran, wherever the ISIS people
You're
are.
Giving us spoons?
Because that's all you need. That's all
For
you
what?
Need. We give them sharp spoons, sporks, whatever, and we tell them, you know what?
Oh, we're going to conquer ISIS.
The ISIS guys got all the chocolate. They got all the chocolate. You tell me ISIS wouldn't be they'd be destroyed in 3 days.
And you know what? Even if ISIS wins, then we can say, well, big deal, you beat a bunch of women.
Yeah, big deal, you beat up a bunch of girls.
Right.
So what? But no, I'm saying, they ain't nothing scarier. You know, Green Beret, Navy SEAL,
nothing over
whatever,
PMS.
Ain't nothing scary. You want you have a Navy SEAL airborne ranger show up say to my house, say I'm gonna whip your ass. Fine, we go out in the front.
Bring
yard.
It on.
I'll deal with you, but you get the blonde haired devil walking through my house, starting to look around to see if you vacuum properly. I get scared.
Do you wear a little maid's outfit when you vacuum?
I don't vacuum. That's why I get scared. But anyway, that's what I'm just saying. And I would like to, men, it's time we stand up and admit these things. The first step in solving a problem is admitting there's a problem.
Are you going to bruise, old man?
don't pinch me so damn.
Renee, we don't want encouraging. We're just listening.
So, anyway.
Yeah, not really.
If we,
Okay.
That's really all I have to say about that.
Oh, really? Excellent. Okay. So,
Brittany has her arms crossed over like she's pissed off.
You know why? Because it is the, what is it today? The 11th?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brittany in the window of death.
And we got to time these podcasts not to cross over in this window of death period.
The window of death.
So.
Yes. Brandy, yes.
Great. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Anybody have anything else they want to add that's relevant to this particular podcast?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't disturb the peace.
Do not. You
pay that $10. That's a bitch.
I don't like Richard Speck.
Me either.
He's kind of a jerk. He's kind of an ass.
He's a dick, yeah.
He's kind of a murderer.
Yeah. What do you think, Colonel? I know you're
well,
trying.
Well, the only thing the man has going for him is...
Can you sum it up in four words?
Give us your opinion.
He had boobs.
He had always that. Give him open-ended questions, right?
I had it.
What's that?
I said, and dude, that's weird.
Dude, that's weird. He had breasts.
He said he had boobs.
Where can people find us,
and he
Colonel?
Performed oral sex. So you got to give him points for that.
Why am I giving him points for that?
You know what? Where can they find us?
They can find us on Facebook under...
Dude, that's weird.
Or...
Or they can go to iTunes.
Well, we're not on iTunes yet, but we will be soon.
Where the hell are they also going?
You keep saying that.
I've got a problem.
You're the producer.
You keep saying that.
We're going to be on iTunes soon, but you can also find us on History Dweebs, the Facebook, and you can find History Dweebs on iTunes.
Yeah, this is going to be on History Dweeb too, right?
Yes.
So it's going to be History Dweeb going to be on iTunes. I would really appreciate your support because I know even the women out there know I'm right. I mean, they out there. The ones that ain't in that three-window period are like, yeah, we get crazy.
So on iTunes, leave us a comment, and we will be able, that way other people can find us. Now, whether that's a good or a bad thing remains to be seen. Yes. But please leave us a comment so other people can find us. And that is all for today. Thank everybody very much.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Dottie.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.